Kane Review, Print Speaking to the Blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast, recorded at the Bishopriggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @KaneReview. That is @CueAndReview. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@kunereview.com. That is information@CueAndReview.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
This week's edition of the podcast, as published on Wednesday the 8th of November, has been read to you by Alan, Corey, Hunter, Ian and Rebecca.
Book Week comes to area. National Book Week is in town. An award-winning comedian, a book launch and a murder on the canal are just some of the highlights coming to the town as part of this year's Book Week Scotland. East Dumbartshire Leisure and Culture EDLC Trust venues will host a number of exciting events between November the 13th and 19th, with authors discussing their works and sharing their inspirations. An annual celebration of books and reading, Book Week Scotland takes place across the country and this year takes the theme of adventure. EDLC Chairman Councillor Jim Gibbons told the Herald, "We are delighted to be taking part in this year's Book Week Scotland. As always, we have interesting events taking place locally, including a book launch, a canal cruise and several Q&A sessions with authors. There will also be displays and branches exploring Book Week Scotland's theme of the year, adventure. Our usual programme of book bugs, reading groups and family events will also be running, so be sure to pop into your local library to join in the National Celebration of Reading this November. With the darker nights, there is no better time to get signed up to your library or look out your membership card, stock up on books at home and rediscover the joy of getting lost in a book. With the help of funding from the Scottish Book Trust, EDLC Libraries will host a handful of free in-person events. First up at Bishopriggs Library next Monday, November the 13th, is a chance to meet award-winning comic Josie Long. A writer and stand-up comedian, Josie won the Best Newcomer Award at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and has been nominated 3 times for Best Show. Her stories have been compared to the work of Miranda July, David Sedaris and Kelly Link. Next up on Thursday, November the 16th, is Rochelle Atala Book Launch at Mulgag Library. Join us for the paperback launch of Rochelle's book Thirsty Animals, a compelling, devastating and thought-provoking journey of survival and self-discovery. And finally, why not indulge in some suspense with Murder on the Barge at South Bank Marina Kirkintilloch with Alan Martin and Rona Morrison. Taking place from 2 p.m. on Friday, November the 17th, this is an hour of literary and entertainment aboard the Voyager Canal Boat as it cruises along the Forth and Clyde Canal. The two writers will discuss the motives of murder, both factual and fictional. Elsewhere across the libraries, there will be displays and branches exploring Book Week Scotland's theme, Adventure. There will also be the usual programme of book bugs, reading groups and family events, so be sure to pop into your local library to join in.
This week in history. November the 9th, 1953. Welsh poet Dylan Thomas died, aged 39, after falling into an alcoholic coma following the consumption of 18 stiff whiskies. November 10, 1871. Henry Morton Stanley, sent to Africa by his newspaper to find Scottish missionary David Livingstone, finally made contact with him on Lake Tanganyika with the words, "Dr. Livingstone, I presume." On this day last year, the annual John Lewis Christmas advert was released, starring a man painfully learning to master a skateboard as he awaits the arrival of a young teenager his family is taking into foster care. November 11, 1987. Van Gogh's irises fetched £23.9 million in New York. On this day last year, on Armistice Day, hundreds of knitted poppies were used as part of incredible displays across different hospitals to pay respect to those who served and sacrificed their lives as part of the armed forces. November 12, 1990. Crown Prince Akihito was formally installed as Emperor Akihito of Japan, becoming the 125th Japanese monarch. On this day last year, television presenter and author Baroness Fulela Benjamin was among six leading figures chosen by the late Queen to become members of the Order of Merit and appointed by the King. November 13, 1941. HMS Ark Royal was torpedoed by a German U-boat. She sank the next day. Read by me, Ian.
East Dunbartonshire Council has introduced a household support payment as part of the ongoing cost of living support programme for 2023-2024. When setting the current budget, the Council agreed a range of measures to support people during the challenging period. The household support payment is a one-off payment of £150 that will be made available to 1,000 households on a first-come, first-served basis from now until all funds have been allocated. The payment is for those East Dunbartonshire residents who do not currently receive means-tested benefits. Applicants must fit the following criteria. Must be responsible for paying council tax for a property within East Dunbartonshire which you are occupying as your home. Not be in receipt of a means-tested benefit such as Universal Credit, Job Seekers Allowance, Employment and Support Allowance, Income Support, Child Tax Credits, Working Tax Credits. To be successful, you must also be one of the following. Single and earning less than £17,500 per year and have less than £800 in savings. Part of a couple with no dependents living with you. Your joint income is less than £25,000 a year and your joint savings are less than £1,200. Part of a couple with children living with you, your income is less than £30,000 and your joint savings are less than £1,200. A lone parent with children living with you, your income is less than £30,000 and you have less than £800 in savings. Council leader, Councillor Gordon Lowe, said, "As we continue to navigate a difficult economic landscape, we introduced this payment as we recognise there are many people in employment struggling because of high inflation and the ongoing cost of living crisis. We are also aware that as we come into the colder weather, families will once again have to deal with high energy bills. If you meet the criteria, I encourage you to apply as soon as possible so you can benefit from this one-off support. Apply online at the East Dunbartonshire Government website or contact customer services on 0300 123 4510. That's 0300 123 4510 for a paper copy. Read by Alan Todd.
Strikes cancelled as recorded by Hunter MacDonald. School strikes earmarked for today have been suspended as Unison consult on an improved pay offer from COSLA. Planned for November the 8th, the strikes have been suspended after talks between parties secured an improved pay offer for local government workers. The union say they have negotiated a groundbreaking commitment to tackle low pay across local government, which should deliver above inflation increases for the lowest paid workers for at least the next 3 years. The union also say that action by Unison members over the past months has delivered an additional £100 million into the pay packets of local government workers. This includes an additional £17.2 million secured in the last couple of weeks. The agreement to backdate the full offer to the beginning of April for all workers further benefits around 4 in 10 of the workforce.
Former footballer and sex attacker granted an appeal. A former East Dunbartonshire footballer jailed for a sex attack on a sleeping woman has been granted an appeal hearing. "We told you in July how Salim Kudarisa preyed on his 23-year-old victim at a flat in Kirkintilloch on October 31st, 2021. The 27-year-old had denied the crime, but was found guilty by jurors following a trial at Glasgow Sheriff Court in May. He was later sacked by his club, Airdrie. He went on to be locked up for 2 years when he returned to the dock last month and was also put on the sex offenders register for 10 years. Cooder Assay's legal team, led by solicitor advocate Graham Brown, have been granted leave to appeal the conviction with a court appeal hearing due to take place later this year. The victim told jurors how she had met Cooder Assay at a friend's flat after a night out. She later went to a bedroom in the early hours. Recalling her next memory, the woman stated, "I woke up and I could feel someone behind me. That is when I realised what he was doing." She described Cooder Assay intimately touching her, adding, "I went into bed myself and was shocked to have someone behind me. I was shouting, 'What are you doing?' And he said, 'I thought you were awake. What have I done?' It would not matter if I was, as there was no consent." Cooder Assay said he had gone into the bedroom to get a good sleep, claiming he had a belief she was consenting to what he then did. Sheriff Matthew Jackson said, "The woman woke up to find herself being sexually assaulted by a man she barely knew in a horrific fashion."
Pay your respects in person. People in towns and villages across eastern Bartonshire will be able to attend local Remembrance Sunday events again this year, with 11 acts of remembrance organised. This Sunday, November the 12th, Provost Gillian Rennick and councillors will join local people across the area to pay their respects at war memorials. Local churches and community councils have organised events in Auchendairn, Baldernock, Bishopbriggs, Kirkintilloch, Lennoxtown, Mulgaie, Milton of Campsie, Torrance, Twecher and Woodalee. Professor Rennick said, "My thanks to everyone who has organised these public acts of remembrance throughout eastern Bartonshire. We are fortunate to have such active organisations in our communities and I encourage people to support these events by attending where possible. This is an opportunity to join together to remember and pay tribute to those who sacrificed so much for us." He added, "And likewise, we must remember our veterans and those who continue to serve as well as their families." A service organised by the council will be held at the War Memorial at Bearsden Cross. It will begin at approximately 10:40 a.m, led by the Reverend Graham Wilson of Bearsden Cross Church. It will be attended by the Deputy Lieutenant of Dumbartonshire, Pat Steele, Provost Rennick, Armed Forces personnel, representatives of the Council, Police Scotland, Scottish Fire and Rescue Service, community councils, churches, schools, Boys Brigade, Girl Guides, Scouts and other local groups. Provost Rennick will lay a wreath on behalf of the people of Eastern Bartonshire. To find out the details of what's happening in your area, check out this dedicated page of the Council's website. 5 of the Council's public buildings will be lit red in the days running up to Remembrance Sunday in support of Poppy Scotland. From Friday the 10th until Sunday the 12th of November inclusive, the community hubs of Bishopbriggs, Bearsden, Kirkintilloch and Lennoxtown, as well as Mulgaie Town Hall, will be bathed in a crimson glow, lest we forget. Traffic diversions will be in place in Bearsden on Sunday between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. Read by Rebecca.
Our court system is in a real mess. Scotland's legal system is facing a total collapse of justice as a result of a critical shortage of advocates to defend serious criminal court cases, senior lawyers warned last night. Ian Moyer, convener of the Law Society of Scotland's Legal Aid Committee, said that the court's crisis he had warned about for over a decade had now arrived. Posting on X, formerly known as Twitter, he said, "Try to instruct counsel today for a serious High Court case. Not a single senior counsel, senior junior or junior counsel available in hashtag Scotland to accept instruction in a hashtag legal aid funded case." He added, "The system can't cope now. when they get back to pre-COVID case levels, it will be worse. And then there are the court buildings that are dangerous and not able to work at anywhere near full capacity to add to the problems. Simple solution would be to pay those rates for legal aid, but they aren't willing to do so. Even those rates haven't increased in about a decade or so, can't keep up with inflation. He added, the Scottish Government don't want the faculty to survive, they want a system they can control. Asked how Scotland's court system could continue with such a shortage of advocates, he replied, it can't, and those left standing will want to leave. The pressure is unbearable. Roddy Dunlop, KC, Dean of the Faculty of Advocates, agreed, commenting, Ian is right, there is a growing crisis. Referring to a legal ruling on corroboration for the crime of rape, he said, recent changes in the law will mean more cases will be prosecuted. That may well be a good thing, but we need the necessary infrastructure, prosecutors and defence to cope. It just isn't there at present. Mr. Moyer added that he was genuinely despondent at how the system can be saved, and he said he would welcome a joint approach with the Faculty of Advocates and Mr. Dunlop in the hope of avoiding a total collapse of justice in Scotland. He went on, there are not enough lawyers left and the incentive to leave the defence is huge. The latest figures from the Scottish Courts and Tribunal Service, SCTS, show lengthy delays are still being caused by the considerable backlog of court cases built up during the COVID pandemic. The average time between pleading, diet and evidence-led trials is currently 48 weeks for High Court cases compared to the pre-COVID level of 22 weeks. The average time between pleading, diet and evidence-led trial for solemn sheriff court trials is 40 weeks compared to the pre-COVID levels of just 11 weeks. David Fraser, SCTS Executive Director, Court Operations, said court recovery resources had been switched from summary to solemn business with the introduction of a further 2 additional High Court and 6 additional Sheriff Solemn Trial Courts. A Scottish Government spokeswoman said Minister for Victims and Community Safety, Siobhan Brown, was currently co-chairing a working group on the future of the legal profession with the Faculty of Advocates and the Law Society of Scotland to improve recruitment to the criminal bar.
Lowest ever drink drive casualties. The number of drink drive casualties on Scotland's roads in 2021 was the lowest ever. A report from Transport Scotland published shows a total of 210 people were injured in accidents when a driver was over the legal limit. This compares with 1,270 in 2002. There were 10 deaths, half the number the year before, and down from 50 two decades ago. But the Scottish figures are in sharp contrast to the rest of Great Britain, where the drink drive deaths have hit a 12-year high of 260. Hunter Abbott, Managing Director of personal breathalyser firm AlcoSense, said, the message is finally getting through that alcohol increases the likelihood of an accident. Our research shows that over half of motorists in Scotland have now reduced the amount of alcohol they drink, whether they will be driving later that day or the following morning. The lower drink drive limit in Scotland has undoubtedly helped to change attitudes and, based on these figures, the rest of the UK should follow suit. The highest proportion of breath tests by police was in Tayside, where 72% of motorists were breathalysed after an injury accident. But in Glasgow, it was only 38%, despite the city being the drink and drive hotspot of Scotland. Analysis of crime data by AlcoSense shows there were 942 DUI offences in Glasgow in 2022-23, higher than anywhere else in the country and up by a third over the past decade. Next worst were North Lanarkshire, 820 DUI offences, Aberdeen and Aberdeenshire, 650, Highland, 574, and the City of Edinburgh, 499. Bottom of the table are the islands of Orkney, 23, and Shetland, 28. The biggest breath test failure rate was in Renfrewshire and Inverclyde, where 8.8% of drivers tested positive after an accident, double the rate of the previous year. whereas in Forth Valley, just 1% of motorists failed the test. The overall failure rate across Scotland was 3.8%, considerably lower than in England and Wales, 6%. The Scottish drink drive limit was lowered in December 2014 from 80 milligrams of alcohol in 100 millilitres of blood, 0.8% BAC, to 50 milligrams, 0.5% BAC. Even at 0.10 BAC, one-fifth of the Scottish limit, you are still 37% more likely to be involved in a fatal crash, research shows.
Plea from charity. Barnardo Scotland is calling on the nation to hand in any pre-loved items to raise vital funds to support the most vulnerable children and families this winter. The leading children's charity is especially on the lookout for good quality women's wear and men's wear to be brought along to any of the 60 plus stores in Scotland. Martin Crewe, director of Barnardo Scotland, said, "With Christmas not too far away, we suspect a lot of households in Scotland will be wanting to do something of a pre-festive clear out, and that's where Barnardo's comes in. We would love to receive your pre-loved goods, especially all types of clothing. You can bring your items along to any of our stores and our team will be more than grateful to take them off your hands. Visit shop.barnardos.org.uk/donations.
Turnbull teacher and inspiration. A Bishopbriggs teacher will feature in a new photography exhibition celebrating the achievements of some of the UK's most inspiring educators. Patrick Walker has been recognised for his impressive contributions to students and the wider school community, having made a huge impact at Turnbull High School. There he turned the geography department into a top performer in boosting student achievement, with pupil attainment making it one of the leading departments in Eastern Bartonshire. Of his involvement, Patrick said, "I love inspiring students to engage with sustainability challenges and believe there is no limit to their success. I am honoured to be part of this project to hopefully encourage more students to engage with the critical issues our world faces." The exhibition, entitled The Gallery of Greats, was created by the charity The Teaching Awards Trust to celebrate its 25th anniversary. It is being delivered in collaboration with photographer and part-time teacher Donna Bridgewater and Pearson, the world's leading learning company. The exhibition will take place at All Is Joy Gallery in London on November 13, 2023, for one day only. Patrick was recognised for introducing advanced courses, sustainability initiatives and effective revision programmes at his school, inspiring students to believe in limitless learning and success. His introduction of Level 6 sustainability reflects the department's commitment to climate change, as does his motto, "The Planet in Their Hands." He was applauded for his ability to empower students in his school. Mary Palmer, CEO of the Teaching Awards Trust, says, "At the Teaching Awards Trust, our mission is to celebrate and value the impact of education and highlight the life-changing influence educators and school leaders have. This exhibition visually showcases the impact teachers have on pupils and the innovation and enthusiasm that they bring to the classroom day in and day out. We are delighted to work with Donna and the All Is Joy Gallery to bring the Gallery of Greats to life and provide a reminder to people of the important role teachers play in everyday life. Each The Gallery of the Greats portrait captures educators in their natural environment, highlighting their dedication and passion for shaping the lives of young people. The striking collection tells the story of 10 inspiring educators from across the UK, all of whom have been shortlisted to win a Gold Award at this year's Pearson National Teaching Awards, which will be announced and celebrated at a glittering awards ceremony on Saturday 25th November and showcased on BBC's The One Show from November 21st to November 25th. Donna Bridgewater, whose photography is being exhibited, is a teacher herself at a specialist college in Coventry where she witnesses the positive impact of great teaching daily. This inspiration led her to embark on this latest project to photograph a diverse range of educators.
Christmas shopping at Kirkintilloch's Old Kirk Exhibition. You could secure a cracker of a Christmas present for a friend or loved one, courtesy of the Old Kirk Museum in Kirkintilloch. The popular Christmas art and craft exhibition is back until December the 20th. This year's guest artist is Denise Chateau-Loney. Denise, who lives and works in Mulgay, is a botanical artist and bookbinder. Working with eco printing and watercolours, as always, there will be an interesting range of handmade artwork, jewellery, ceramics, soaps, candles, woodwork, and glass and textile crafts on show. Sourced locally and nationally, including a selection box of potential gift ideas. Councillor Jim Gibbons, Chair of Eastern Bartonshire Leisure and Culture Trust, which operates the Old Kirk Museum, said, "The festive exhibition at the Old Kirk is traditionally very popular, offering people a gift-wrapped opportunity to browse a range of wonderful works and crafts and perhaps pick up a unique present. Thanks to all the skilled crafters, makers and artists who have contributed this year, if you're shopping or enjoying lunch, dinner or a cuppa in Kirkintilloch, why not come in and have a look? The Old Kirk Museum Cowgate is open every week, Tuesday to Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 to 5 p.m. free entry. For more venue information, call 0141 777 3013 or visit www.edlc.co.uk/heritage-arts/old-kirk-museum.
Spooky goings in Waterside. A spooky Halloween event left the children from the Waterside village and surrounding area chilled to their bones. On October the 30th, witches, ghosts and blood-curdling figures descended on Waterside early to compete for the best costume, best pumpkin and best guising routine. Some even dared to dip their hands into a witch's cauldron to feel for possible spiders, worms and eyeballs. The event was a joint one by Waterside Community Council and Waterside Miners Charitable Society. The latter revived in 2022 with the aim of building a community hub on the site of the former Waterside Miners Club. Tesco and Lidl generously donated pumpkins for the occasion, which was kindly hosted by Archie's Shop. Thanks to Edward Z. Smith for his pictures.
Funding will see new Lindsay Academy build. Lindsay Academy is to receive Scottish Government funding for a new build school. Eastern Bartonshire Council's EDC successful funding bid to the Government's Learning Estate Investment Programme, LEIP, fund was announced earlier this week, with a replacement school currently estimated to cost £85 million. Council leader Gordon Lowe told us, "This is excellent news, and this funding contribution means we can replace the current Lindsay Academy with a state-of-the-art facility for 1,400 pupils. The new academy completes the upgrade of our entire secondary school estate. We have an enviable track record here in Eastern Bartonshire for delivering fantastic learning facilities to support our high-performing education service. EDC will work closely with the Scottish Government and Scottish Futures Trust to deliver this new school as part of continuous improvement of our estate. Work now begins to develop the project plan and timeline to deliver this new learning facility in Lindsay, with a target completion date to open to pupils no later than December 2027. The Lindsay Academy School Replacement Project is part of the Council's 30-year capital improvement programme, which will now be updated to reflect this announcement, and Council will be provided with regular updates as the project progresses. Library service can stop us feeling sad and blue this winter. The nights are fairly drawing in, and with the clocks having gone back, we can conclude that winter is definitely coming. But fear not the darkness, because Eastern Bartonshire residents are once again being offered the chance of 30 minutes of light therapy at their local library, which can be enjoyed as part of their membership as they curl up with a book. Eastern Bartonshire Libraries are the first Scottish library service to offer this as part of library membership. Reduced exposure to sunlight during the shorter winter days and indoor working can disrupt your body clock and may contribute to seasonal affective disorder, SAD, or winter blues. Light therapy lamps have been found to help lift mood, boost concentration, restore energy levels and treat the symptoms of SAD. Lamps will be available all day with no booking required at the following libraries: Bishopriggs, Lennoxdown, Mulgay and William Patrick Library in Kirkintilloch. EDLC Chairman Jim Gibbons said, "We are committed to providing services and resources which promote positive mental health and well-being for all, and I'm proud that we are the first library service in Scotland to offer this innovative service. As winter approaches, we are prepared to respond to all the challenges that the seasonal weather brings."
Wednesday, the 8th of November. Let's talk. The Kirkintilloch and Bishopriggs Herald letters page. Please send your letters via email to kirkyherald@janscotland.co.uk and write letters in the subject field. Please keep letters to a maximum of 300 words. Letters cannot be published without a name and postal address. Also include a daytime phone number if possible. We reserve the right to edit any letter. COVID truth lost in the smoke of war. Sir, I am currently reading the densely fact-packed 400 pages of Jonathan Dimbleby's Second World War history of the Battle of the Atlantic. A truly majestic feat of research and writing. The overarching impression gained is of the abiding principles of obfuscation, economy of truth and, frankly, damn lies, perpetrated by highly esteemed war leaders on all sides as a matter of course when informing media and public alike. Records both oral and written were modified, misinterpreted, redacted, lost or simply never kept in the first place. So what's new? Both COVID inquiries, which appear to be expensively duplicating each other's efforts, are being delayed and frustrated by a woeful lack of transparency on the part of politicians who manage the pandemic. It is highly likely the truth about the war against the virus will never be fully exposed and the ubiquitous lessons not learned. Can we expect any better of the largely mediocre wannabes presently responsible for our destiny? It is a sad fact that human nature has never fundamentally changed and is unlikely ever to do so. Yours, etc. S.R. Wilde, by email. Disregard for those in Highlands. Following on from the failed promises over the last 16 years to upgrade the A9 trunk road between Perth and Inverness, comes 4 months of traffic disruption and delays due to work on a gas main. A single carriageway section of the road near Dunkeld is reduced to a single lane with traffic control by temporary traffic signals. There is no alternative route that can be used as a diversion. This results in queues of traffic and long delays. I have recently travelled from Inverness to go to the Glasgow area and back. On my southbound journey, early on a weekday evening, there was a queue over 6 miles in length. On my return at around lunchtime on the following Sunday, there were again significant delays. On both occasions, there was no sign of work taking place in the gas main. It would appear that the road users are to accept delays in these works 24 hours a day and 7 days a week until February. Is it really possible that, in these circumstances, the contractor works only a 40-hour week between Monday and Friday? If it is essential, then the gas main must be laid in the carriageway. Then it should have been possible for Transport Scotland to stipulate that the work should be done in overnight sessions, with traffic flow not impeded between, say, 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. It is hard to imagine a more striking example of how little regard politicians and their agencies based in the Central Belt give to those who live in the Highlands. I find it impossible to imagine that any other community in Scotland would be subjected to such disruption. Yours, etc. George Rennie. Address supplied. Live donkeys up against dead sheep. Sir, Hamza Yousaf's reaction to NSP Ash Regan defecting to ALBA seems to be unnecessarily ungracious, describing her as no great loss to his party, despite her having been seen as good enough to be a minister and also having been a candidate for its leadership. he made a particular point of saying she wasn't elected as a constituency MSP because of any personal vote, but because of the colour of rosette she was wearing. An astonishing thing for any party leader to suggest, not least because that is almost certainly true. The type of person who will sign an agreement not to criticise their party is not the sort of person you want representing you as a constituent. Someone explained to me once the change they had witnessed in Scottish politics over 20 years or so. Where you used to be able to put a red rosette on a donkey and people would still vote for it, you can now put a yellow rosette on a dead sheep and achieve the same effect, such as the declining standards we have witnessed. And the First Minister is simply drawing attention to this with his remarks. The expectation from our politicians has become very low indeed. It does seem, however, that donkeys are back in demand again, suggesting some improvement might be taking place. Donkeys can at least do some good. Dead sheep, not so much. Ms. Reagan, enjoying a party that struggles to get 1% of the vote, is certainly not defecting as a career move, but at least she had a mind of her own to do it. We can give her some credit for that. Yours, etc., Victor Clements, by email. The Kirkintilloch and Bishopriggs Herald Reader's Charter. This newspaper is built on a tradition of accuracy and fairness, giving you the information you need to understand our world, holding power to account and exposing injustice. Our trusted brand means we are the only place where you can read and participate in honest debates. We are committed to giving a voice to those who struggle to be heard as well as those who profession is crafting an argument. Our Reader's Charter spells out our commitment to you. You can read the charter online at kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk.
Christmas cinema fun in Kirky. Lights, camera, Christmas. Kirky Picture Palace has unveiled the films on offer in the coming weeks after a triumphant return to its original home. Cinematic magic is back at Kirkintilloch Town Hall, courtesy of Your Kirky, aka Kirkintilloch Community Council, supported by East Dunbartonshire Leisure and Culture Trust. As well as screenings of the latest blockbusters and festive favourites, there will be special dementia-friendly and baby-friendly events too. Coming up at Kirky Picture Palace on Saturday, November 25th, is Disney's Elemental, PG, and Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, 12. That's followed by a series of Christmas specials starting on Saturday, December 23rd, with Elf, PG, Home Alone, PG, and It's a Wonderful Life, U. Doors open 15 minutes before screenings, and there will be snacks and refreshments available to purchase. Tickets cost £5 for adults and £3 for children. Available from Create ED 46 Cowgate Kirkintilloch and online at the Your Kirky website. Dementia-friendly screenings will be held on Friday, November 17th and show Billy Elliot, 15, followed by White Christmas, U, on Friday, December 15th. Tickets for those sessions cost £5, with carers allowed in for free. Purchase on the door or email kirkyfilmhub@gmail.com for group bookings. Doors open 15 minutes before the screening. Baby-friendly screenings will be held on Tuesday, November 28th, with a showing of The Incredibles, U, followed by The Polar Express, U, Christmas special showing on Tuesday, December 19th. Tickets cost £5 for adults and £3 for children, with under-2s allowed in for free. Purchase on the door or email kirkyfilmhub@gmail.com for group bookings. Kirky Picture Palace's cinema coordinator, Serena Marshall, said, "It's fantastic to be back home in Kirkintilloch Town Hall, where our magical movie adventures first began in October 2019. We hope the community continues to support their cinema, which many people asked for as part of our recent consultations."
Wednesday the 8th of November. District News, Churches. Springfield Cambridge Church. A remembrance service on Sunday, November the 12th, will be conducted by Reverend Ian Taylor, assisted by our Assistant Minister, Mrs. Julia Harty, in the sanctuary at the earlier time of 10:45 a.m. There will be a retiring collection in the aid of the Earl Haig Fund. The Sunday School will meet in Room 2. Tea and coffee will be served in the Cameron Hall after morning worship. No collection is taken during the service, so donations can be made by placing them in the offering plates in the Hall of Fellowship as you enter or leave the building. Morning worship has also been live streamed on the Springfield Cambridge Church YouTube channel. A link to this can be found on the Springfield Cambridge Church website, www.springfieldcambridge.org.uk, and Facebook page, where up-to-date information about events and church organisations can also be found. There will be a short service of worship in the lounge at Caliburn Court on Sunday, November the 12th, at 2:30 p.m. for anyone who would like to attend. There will be a vestry hour on Wednesday, November the 8th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for anyone who would like to speak with the minister. There will be a short weekly service of worship in the Springfield Chapel on Wednesday, November the 8th from 11:10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. followed by tea and coffee in the Hall of Fellowship. Christmas cards for the Lodging House Mission will be on sale in the Hall of Fellowship. Monetary donations gratefully received to help offset the cost of providing meals. The Guild Coffee Morning will be held on Saturday, November the 18th at 10 a.m. Tickets £5 adults, children free, are now available from members of the Guild. The Scottish Clarinet Choir will be holding a concert in the church on Saturday, November the 18th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets at the door, £5, children free. Materials for the December edition of The Record should be sent to our magazine editor, Marion Ray, by November the 19th. Kirkintilloch Church of God. At Regent Hall, Regent Street on Wednesday, our coffee corner is open from 12 noon to 2 p.m. for home baking and coffee. Join our friends and neighbours for a chat over coffee. On Sunday, there will be a Zoom service at 6:30 p.m. The speaker this week will be missionary, author and radio broadcaster Brian Johnson. A warm invitation to everyone who is able to join us on Zoom. Access details for the stream can be obtained by emailing hello@regenthall.org. For up-to-date and further information on our services, visit our website on www.regenthall.org. The Bible says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners." 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Home Church, Scotland, Lammermoor Road, Kirkintilloch, G66 2AB. Home Church, Kirkintilloch, Home Church East End, Carmyle, G32 8DP. And online. "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you." Genesis chapter 26, verse 24. Sunday, November the 12th. Communion, 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Prayer meeting followed by refreshments, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Worship service, children's church and creche, followed by refreshments. A warm welcome awaits you. Home Church Carmyle, 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Minibus leaves Home Church at 5:45 p.m. for the evening service. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Bible studies and discussion groups in person and on Zoom. Wednesdays, mothers and babies, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Home groups, various, 7:15 p.m. and at Carmyle. Fridays, craft and coffee, 10 a.m. to noon, open to the community. Youth fellowship, 7:30 to 9 p.m, a varied programme. Home radio available every day. See Facebook, Instagram and website. St James Church, Hilton Road, Bishop Briggs, Rector Reverend Canon Paul Watson, 0141 230 4080. There is a communion service in the chapel on Thursday, November the 9th at 11 a.m. and on Sunday, November the 12th, Remembrance Sunday, at 9 a.m. The 10:30 a.m. communion service, with hymns, on Sunday is in the church. Everyone is welcome to come along to any of these services. Do stay on for tea and coffee and fellowship afterwards. On Tuesday, November the 14th, at 1 p.m, there is a Tuesday club lunch with a talk by Reverend Nick Bowery about pilgrimage on the Camino de Santiago in Spain. Do feel free to come along. £3 donation at the door. You will be most welcome to join us. There are also other virtual services and groups. For up-to-date and further information, refer to our social media. Facebook, St. James the Less Bishop Briggs. Website, www.stjamesbishopbriggs.org.uk. Kim Muir Parish Church. Our Remembrance Sunday service will begin 10 minutes early at 10:50 a.m. to allow time for our Gillis Brigade Company to parade their colours in preparation of our Act of Remembrance at 11 a.m. The service will be led by our Assistant Minister, Reverend Kay Gardiner. Visitors to the area can always expect a warm welcome when they come to our Sunday morning worship. Teas and coffees and a time of fellowship follows the end of the service. Our services are live streamed on YouTube. You can find our channel by simply searching for Kim Muir Bishop Briggs on YouTube. Details of all of our groups that are currently running may be found on our website, kimmuir-church.co.uk. To find us on Facebook, just search for Kim Muir Parish Church. If you would like to join our WhatsApp group or receive the Bible studies from ABC, then email us at kimmuirchurch@icloud.com. Colston Well Park Church. You are welcome to join us for our service of remembrance this Sunday at Colston Well Park Church, which will be led by Reverend Malcolm Cuthbertson. Please note that the service will commence at 10:45 a.m. After the service, you are welcome to join us for tea, coffee and conversation in the hall. This Monday, the Art Club continues at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We are still looking for new members, so if you are interested, give Ramsay a call on 07709 584 680 for more information. Don't forget, the Colston Tea Break, our community drop-in cafe, is open this Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And all are welcome who enjoy good food, good chat and good company, and it's free. The food bank is open this Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. where it continues its essential work within the community. Thanks to all who assist and help to organise this worthwhile work. St Mary's Parish Church. The service on Sunday, November the 12th, is our annual service of remembrance. This service will be taken by the Reverend Dr. Ruth Morrison and will begin at 10:30 a.m. This is a joint service with St David's Memorial Park Church and will be held in St David's Church. On Saturday, November the 11th, the annual craft day has been held in the church halls. There will be many craft stalls selling a variety of gifts. Why not come and do some early Christmas shopping? There will also be a cafe providing refreshments to keep you going while you shop. The craft day is open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wednesday welcome will take place on Wednesday, November the 8th, as usual. The session house will be open for hot drinks and home baking from 10 a.m. This is followed by a short service at 11:30 a.m, which will be a communion service. On Saturday, November the 25th, St Mary's will also be taking part in the local craft day. The church will be open for visitors from 10:30 a.m. If you have a daredevil Teddy, bring him to church to fly on the zip wire, which extends from the church balcony to the front of the church. During the day, there will be Christmas music, craft making for children, and a tea room. At 4:30 p.m, there will be a sing-along carols, and at 5 p.m, the church tree lights will be switched on. This is a fun-filled day for the whole family. Cador Parish Church. We look forward to welcoming you this coming Sunday to our service at 10:30 a.m, which is our Remembrance Sunday service. It will be led by Reverend John McGregor and Probationer Minister Chris Gordon and Javier Jose Asendo Malo, MMUS. All are welcome. Tea and coffee served after both services. Food bank. If you wish to donate to the local food bank, you can bring donations to the church or the coffee shop. Early Fellowship meets in person in the South Hall Chapel at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursday, and also on Zoom. For further details, contact the minister. Coffee shop is open Tuesday to Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m, Friday, 10 a.m. to noon. Kirkintilloch Male Voice Choir in concert at Cadder Parish Church on Sunday, November 19th at 3 p.m. Donations welcome. All proceeds in aid of the Guide Dogs for the Blind Association. Remembrance Day, Saturday, November 11th, assemble at 10:45 a.m. There will be a short service at the War Memorial at 11 a.m, beginning with a 2-minute silence. Remembrance Sunday service, November 12th, 10:30 a.m. in the church. There will also be a parade from the South Hall to the War Memorial for a short service and laying of wreaths. Assemble at the South Hall at 12:30 p.m. Leaflets in the vestibule. The next meeting of the Guild is on Thursday, November the 16th at 7 p.m. in the South Hall, where a speaker from the Vine Trust, one of our projects, will tell us of their work on the Kanzunduzu Village of Hope in Tanzania. All welcome. Our main fundraiser, our coffee morning, is on Saturday, November the 25th from 10 a.m. to noon. Tickets priced £4 on sale now from the committee and in the coffee shop. 92nd Glasgow Company, the Girls Brigade, Tuesdays, Explorers P1 to P3, 6:15 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Juniors P4 to P7, 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Brigaders S1 to S6, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. 212th Boys Brigade, Anchor Boys, P1 to 3, Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Junior Section, P4 to 6, Monday, 7:15 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Company / Senior Section, P7 to S6, Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Torrens Parish Church. The morning service, in person, is at 10:30 a.m. conducted by Reverend Stuart Irwin. During the service, the youngsters meet together in creche, junior church and FROG. To join the service online, go to www.torrensparishchurch.online.church. The Alpha Course is every Monday at 7 p.m. The cafe is open every Wednesday 9 a.m. to noon for tea and coffee and delicious home baking. Why not come and taste for yourself? The Girls Brigade meet on Wednesdays 6:15 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. P1 to S6, and the Boys Brigade meet on Thursdays 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. P7 to S6. To find out about regular weekly activities, check the website for What's On at www.tpc.org.uk. Lindsay Old Parish Church. We will be joining our friends at Lindsay Union Parish Church for a joint remembrance service at 10:55 a.m. on Sunday, November the 12th. Monday evenings at 7:15 p.m. is Time Out for Ladies in the Church Hall, a social event for all ages. Tuesday, November the 14th, Come and Sing, the Dementia Friendly Singing Group, meets in the Church Hall, 1:15 p.m. to 2:45 p.m. The Quilt and Craft Group meet every Wednesday, 10 a.m. to noon, in the session room, who are currently knitting blankets for the Lodging House Mission. Scottish Country Dancing every Thursday, 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. in the Church Hall. Come along for fun, fitness and friendship. You will be made very welcome. Wednesday the 8th of November. District News General. Holyrood Voice. We must put an end to this suffering. Article written by Ross Greer, MSP. Every human life is of equal value. That is something we should all agree on, but it's sadly typically one of the first principles to be discarded in war. The horrors inflicted on civilians in Israel by Hamas were brutal acts of terrorism. For those kidnapped, and for their families, that terror continues. And Israel's collective punishment of the people of Gaza through a siege and relentless bombing campaign is not only a catastrophe, it is a war crime. Gaza, whose population includes many Palestinians forced to flee from previous rounds of ethnic cleansing committed by Israel, has already endured a 17-year siege. Now, Israel wants to cut it off completely from the world. Half of the population are children, who have known nothing other than this blockade. Vulnerable Palestinian families following Israel's demands to flee northern Gaza have been murdered on the road by Israeli airstrikes. Thousands of children are already dead. No government which cares for human rights and international law should support Israel's brutal bombing campaign. There is an overwhelming moral responsibility on the UK government to not only call for restraint, but to actively work for an urgent and lasting ceasefire, and to break this cycle of violence. That means compelling Israel to end the siege of Gaza and its illegal occupation of Palestinian territories. In the immediate term, Israel must be forced to allow humanitarian corridors for medical aid and the evacuation of civilians who must have their right of return guaranteed. Rather than calling for any of these vital steps, the UK government has given its backing to the bombing and the blockade. Both Labour and the Tories have gone to painful lengths to legitimise and defend this siege and its consequences, while ignoring growing international calls for a ceasefire. In contrast, Scotland's First Minister, Hamza Yousaf, has demonstrated real moral leadership. He has taken the lead where Downing Street has failed and has shown a huge amount of personal strength despite the awful situation faced by his own family in Gaza. If you can, please donate to Medical Aid for Palestinians and support their emergency appeal today at www.map.org.uk/donate. Society of Antiquities. On November the 2nd, the Antiquities had a lively and stimulating talk from Bruce Keith on Are We Nearly There Yet? Milestones and Markers in Scotland. Starting with the distant slabs left by the Romans along the Antonine Wall, Bruce, a retired surveyor, covered the evolution of methods to mark and record the distances between places and the markers used to display them. We learned how a Lang Scots mile, as used by Burns and Tam O'Shanter, was over 200 yards longer than the standard English mile of 1,760 yards, and how General Roy used chains of varying length in his survey of Scotland in the aftermath of the Jacobite Rebellion, and produced a remarkably accurate map in only 10 years. Milestones and markers were initially made of stone, but cast iron milestones took over in the 19th century, mainly made in Bonnie Bridge. As the road network expanded in the early 20th century, so did the number of milestones. However, most were removed or destroyed during the Second World War under the Defence of the Realm Act, so that if the Germans invaded, they would not know where they were. This would have been useless anyway, as the Germans already had all the Ordnance Survey maps of the UK. A few milestones still survive, including several in the Kirkintilloch area, as pointed out by Society member Don Martin in his vote of thanks. The audience greatly appreciated Bruce's enthusiasm and the skill with which he blended the various elements of his presentation into a cohesive whole. Bruce thanked the Milestone Appreciation Society for the use of their images, which illustrated the talk very effectively. The meeting also heard a short presentation by Paul Murtagh of the Clyde Valley Archaeological Research Framework on the development of the new regional framework. Paul asked members for their suggestions on the most important local sites to include in the framework. The next meeting is on Thursday, December the 7th at 7:30 p.m. in the Park Centre, with a talk by Al Fleming and Linda McIntosh on the 1941 German air crash at Lennoxtown. Horticultural Society. Unfortunately, our October meeting, when Bob Robertson was due to speak to us about hydroponics, had to be cancelled due to the bad weather. We hope to reschedule his talk in the coming months. Our next meeting will be in Enterprise House on Thursday, November the 16th, when we look forward to three of our members giving a short illustrated talks, which will include Gilston Garden near Hillsborough and a garden in northern France. potential new members welcome on the night, or for full details about the society, please contact Paul Malcolm on 0141 578 1520 or visit our website www.kirkintilloch-horty.org.uk.
Public notices. Planning notices. Proposal of application notice. Reference TP/ED/22/0788. Second public consultation. Proposed housing development at the site south of Red Hills View / north of Morrison Drive, Lennoxtown. Proposed application for planning permission by MGL Developments. A second pre-application public consultation event for the proposed development will take place on Wednesday the 22nd of November between 4pm and 8pm at Hugh Head Hall, Castle View, G66 7AG. Those wishing to submit comments or ask questions on the proposed development can do so at during the event or online via www.wilsongunarchitects.com/MD2. That's wilsongunarchitects.com/MD2. There is also an FAQ section on the website noted above. Comments made to the prospective application are not representations to the planning authority, and if the prospective application submits an application, there will be an opportunity to make representations on that application to the planning authority. Eastern Bartonshire Council public notices. Eastern Bartonshire Council, Park Road, Bishop Briggs, Craigie Lee Crescent and Kirk Street, Mulgay, Craighead Avenue, Craighead Road and School Lane, Milton of Campsie, experimental part-time prohibition of driving restrictions. Order 2023. The Eastern Bartonshire Council made the above order on the 7th of November 2023 in exercise of the powers conferred on them by Sections 9 and 10 of the Road Traffic Regulation Act 1984 and of all other enabling powers, and after consultation with the Chief Officer of Police in Scotland, in accordance with Part 3 of Schedule 9 to said Act, and having compiled with the statutory requirements of the Local Authorities Traffic Orders brackets Procedure brackets Scotland Regulations 1999 as amended, the order will be experimental and will remain initially in operation until the 20th of December 2024. The effect of the order, which comes into operation on the 20th of November 2023, will be to introduce a part-time prohibition of driving on Linthes Road in the vicinity of Colber Primary School, Craighead Primary School, St Matthew's Primary School and Wester Cleddon's Primary School, in the interest of road safety and traffic management. A copy of the experimental order as made, together with a map showing said lengths of road and a statement of the Council's reasons for making the experimental order, are available for inspection without payment of fee in the Roads section of the Eastern Bartonshire Council website. Telephone inquiries to 0300 123 4510. Any person wishing to question the validity of the experimental order or of any of its provisions on the grounds that it is not within the powers of the relevant enabling act, or that a requirement of any such enabling act or of any relevant regulations made thereunder, has not been completed with May within 6 weeks from the 7th of November 2023, make an application for that purpose to the Court of Sessions. Eastern Bartonshire Council will be considering in due course whether the provisions of an experimental order should be continued in force indefinitely. Any person may object to the experimental order continuing in force indefinitely on or before the 7th of May 2024. Any objections must be submitted in writing to Chief Solicitor and Monitoring Officer, Legal Services, Eastern Bartonshire Council Headquarters, South Bank Marina, 12 Strathkelvin Place, Kirkintilloch, G66 1TJ, or by email to legalservices@eastonbarton.gov.uk, and must state the grounds on which the objection is made. Karen Donnelly, Chief Solicitor and Monitoring Officer, Legal and Regulatory Services, Eastern Bartonshire Council Headquarters, 12 Strathkelvin Place, Kirkintilloch, G66 1TJ. Members' Surgeries. Councillors' arrangements for interviewing residents. Ward 5, Bishopbriggs South, Councillor Gordon Lowe. 18th of November 2023, Bishopbriggs Academy, 10 a.m. until 10:45 a.m. 18th of November 2023, Bishopbriggs Library and Community Hub. 11:15 a.m. until 12 noon, 18th of November 2023, Auchnairn CE Centre. 12:30 p.m. until 1 p.m. Ward 7, Kirkintilloch East and North and Twecker, Pamela Marshall. 18th of November 2023, Kirkintilloch Hub, Room 1, 10 a.m. until 10:45 p.m. 18th of November 2023, Hillhead Community Centre, Room 1, 11:15 a.m. until 12 noon. 18th of November 2023, Twecker Healthy Living Centre, 12:15 p.m. until 1 p.m. Ward 7, Kirkintilloch East and North and Twecker, Councillor Stuart MacDonald. 15th of November 2023, Twecker Healthy Living Centre, 5:30 p.m. until 6 p.m. 15th of November 2023, Hillhead Community Centre, 6:15 p.m. until 6:45 p.m. Ward 7, Kirkintilloch East and North and Twecker, Councillor Susan Murray. 15th of November 2023, The Hub, William Patrick Library, Room 1, 6 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. Between surgeries, councillors can be contacted at the Members Support Unit on 0300 123450. 10. Planning applications. Format. Application number, followed by address / location, followed by proposal, followed by type of advert, followed by period of reps. TP/ED/23/0595. 2A Myrtle Avenue, Lindsay, Eastern Bartonshire, G66 4HP. Erection of single story extension to rear. Section 65, affecting CA, 21 days. TP/ED/23/0596. 1-35 Kelvin Court, Kirkintilloch, Eastern Bartonshire. New external wall insulation with render finishes, extension to roof eaves to accommodate external wall insulation, new inline PV panels on roof, new windows and external doors, new bay window curtain walling, and new curtain walling at rear common room, entrance, corridors, etc. Section 65, affecting CA, 21 dates. TP/ED/23/0610. Land adjacent to Balcorrock Cottages and Byre, Glen Road, Lennoxtown, Eastern Bartonshire. Change of use from agricultural to residential with proposal to build two dwellings. Neighbour notification, 21 days. The application plans and other documents can be viewed online through the Council's website. The current restrictions on non-essential office work associated with the coronavirus pandemic means that plans cannot be viewed in the Council offices as normal. Written comments may be made within the above period to the Council through the Council's website or to the above address. Any representations will be treated as public documents and made available for inspection by interested parties and may also be published on the Council's website. A home win for Maya in doubles. An article written by Harry Light and read by me, Corey. Maya Lumsden hailed a memorable homecoming after grabbing ITF World Tennis Tour glory in Scotstoun last week. The 25-year-old from Lindsay joined forces with Portugal's Francisca Jorge to topple Freya Christie and Olivia Gadecki in straight sets and lift the women's doubles trophy. This was her sixth professional title of the year, having last month also won the women's doubles at the Open Capfrienses Rennes Metropole. Lumsden said, "To win a tournament in Glasgow is a really nice feeling for me. Playing at home, it's been an awesome week. This is the first week we've played together. I really enjoyed the way we played together from the first match. It was fun doubles." There was an all-British final in the men's doubles as Finn Bass and Milan Hurrian beat George Hewton and Hamish Stewart. In the singles, Ukrainian Daria Sniger secured women's victory while Belgian Alexander Bloks triumphed in the men's competition. The international tournaments are part of the LTA's performance competitions calendar, which provides significant enhanced opportunities for British players at each age and stage of the performance player pathway. The performance competitions calendar not only provides more playing opportunities at home for GB players, but a pathway for junior players. Lumsden is back at Scotstoun this week as Tennis Scotland hosts a prestigious new doubles competition, pitting professionals up against junior, university and club-level talent. The TS Open Tour National Doubles Championship has a £10,000 prize pot and will see Lumsden's partner, fellow Scottish WTA player Ali Collins. The event begins with a one-day qualifying event tomorrow, Thursday, before 3 days of knockout action, including the finals on Sunday. Spectators are welcome to attend 3 days of main draw action and entry is free. That article was written by Harry Light and read by me, Corey. Taekwondo Black Belts for Local Trio. An article written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. Three members of James Reid Martial Arts, which runs classes in Bishopbriggs and Kirkintilloch, recently attended their successful Taekwondo Black Belt grading in Northamptonshire. Father and daughter Mark and Amy Donlevy and Lee Strange travelled to Daventry where they faced five ninth grade grandmasters from the Taekwondo Association of Great Britain as they showed off their skill set. The trio were the first students of the club to face five grandmasters, and all three shone through, with Mark also successful in receiving the first Cup First Dan, Scotland Grading Award, for being the best out of all the students from Scotland in that section. Mark, Amy and Lee are trained by Mel Gorry, herself a third degree black belt. She said, "Every journey is different. Every journey is working towards the same goal. To get to black belt, to be the best you can be, to be humble and, most importantly, to never misuse your skill set." Regularly, parents want their children to learn a martial art, to instill discipline within them, to enable them to defend themselves if necessary, and help keep them fit and healthy. Less adults take the journey themselves. Less truly understand the hard work needed, the self-discipline and determination. I wish more people did. I have taught Taekwondo in Bishopbriggs since 2016, and more recently in Kirkintilloch as well. I have a huge variety of students, young, older, additional needs, all of whom make me proud with every step they take in their journey to black belt and beyond. This is a huge achievement for Mark, Amy and Lee, as they are the first students of the club to face five grandmasters, some of whom are the founding members of our federation. For Mark to receive the grading award is outstanding. This is an honoured position to be in, and the award will be presented to Mark as soon as possible. All three showed their skill set and shone, and from everyone in the club, and especially myself, we want to say congratulations to them all. For more information about the club, visit www.grmartialarts.co.uk. That's www.grmartialarts.co.uk. That article was written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. A lack of hunger and desire from city. This article is unattributed. Glasgow City head coach Leanne Ross thought there was a real lack of hunger and desire as Glasgow City drew 0-0 away to Hearts on Sunday. The away side had the first chance of the game when Linda Mott-Hallow's shot from the edge of the box was saved by Charlotte Parker-Smith, while at the other end, Lee Gibson denied Georgia Timms. Just before the break, Brenna Lavera's close-range effort was denied by the leg of Parker-Smith, and in the second half, the keeper prevented Mairead Fulton opening the scoring. City had one last chance. Emily Whelan's shot was deflected and Parker-Smith kept her clean sheet intact. Ross told the club's media team, "I thought it was a really poor performance from us. Hearts set out to stifle us, but I don't think we did anywhere near enough to lay a glove on them. I didn't think we created enough, and there was a real lack of hunger and desire within the team." City are away to Celtic in the quarterfinals of the Sky Sports Cup on Friday. Ross said, "There needs to be a response because that performance was not good enough. The players will know they have let themselves down." Rossville are through to the next round of the Scottish Cup following a 5-1 win at home to St Mirren on Sunday. Sarah Wardlaw scored twice in the first half as the hosts led 2-1 at half-time, with Sarah McLeod grabbing a brace after the break and Gemma McQuillan adding the fifth. Rossville are away to Dryburgh Athletic in the Championship this Sunday. McGoldrick leaves dugout to take up a new position. Kirk and Tulloch Rob Roy boss Kevin McGoldrick has taken up a new position as head of football operations. He will have responsibility for developing all aspects of football within the club as it looks to move forward to a new phase of its history. This will include recruitment, scouting, coaching and moving forward with the development of the Rob Roy Academy. Danny Ferry takes over as first team manager, assisted by Tony Quinn and Stephen Kidd. Ferry took charge for the first time on Saturday as Rob Roy hosted Gart Cairn in the WOS Premier Division. Their last league win came away to Gart Cairn back in August, but the visitors were able to exact revenge with a 4-0 victory. Rob Roy welcomes Troon on Saturday, knowing a win would take them about the Ayrshire side, as they look to get out of the bottom three. Petershill drew 3-3 at home to Whitletts Victoria in the First Division, with goals from Connor Higgins, Cameron McNeil and Dominic Morgan. Ashfield were knocked out in the second round of the Scottish Junior Cup, as despite a Corey Hughes own goal, they lost 3-1 at home to Largs Thistle. It is back to league action this week for Ashfield as they host Kilburnie Ladeside, while Petershill travel to May Boyle Juniors. Caledonian Locomotive are through to the fourth round of the Junior Cup, following a 4-2 win at home to Carnoustie Panmure. Connor McIntyre was the hat-trick hero, with Tyler Wright also on target. Glasgow Perthshire remain in the bottom three in the second division, despite drawing 0-0 at home to Craigmark Burtonians. It's back to league action for Cali on Saturday, as they set for the visit of Muirkirk Juniors, while Shire head to Bonnyton Thistle. West Park United are also in the bottom three in the third division, following a 4-3 loss at home to Threave Rovers, with Zach Taylor getting a brace and Paul Harvey finding the net. United hosted Forth Wanderers in the quarter-final of the Strathclyde Demolition Cup on Saturday. Rossville returned to action in the fourth division with a trip to East Kilbride Thistle.
That concludes this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Q&Review and to tell your friends about our service.